Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man, one new species of being, getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. I mean, anything short of that is you're deceived. I mean, you're either going from glory to glory or you're going backwards. I like going from glory to glory myself. I'm speaking to Dr. Reggie Anderson. Reggie was raised in a wonderful Christian family. Every time the doors were open at church, he was there with his family. But he became an atheist because of tragedy that occurred in his life, became a medical doctor, an award-winning medical doctor, spent over 25 years in family practice emergency room. He's currently chief of staff at the TriStar Ashland City Medical Center in Tennessee. Dr. Anderson, you had a dream, and I'll call it a dream. You call it a dream, but I think it was more than a dream. I think that the Holy Spirit literally snatched you into heaven. And as a doctor, what did you observe that I might be interested in knowing?
Well, it was more than just an ordinary dream, for sure. I mean, it was more real than my current life, because even... I mean, that happened July 4th, 1980, and thinking back on it, the time I spent listening to Jesus and to seeing my friends in paradise, I mean, the colors were more vibrant, they were more solid, everything was more real, even the smells were fresh and like lilac and citrus. I mean, everything was as if this life is a dream, and that was reality, because that's what I feel like heaven is going to be like. It will, this current life will pale in comparison.
Now, you spend a lot of time talking to people that are about ready to die. Why do you do that? I mean, you could have all different types of specialties, but you like to pray with people as they're about ready to die.
Right. Before I was had this experience, I was just like everybody else. I kind of was, death was a mystery, and it was somewhat of a frightening mystery. And we think of, when you think of something you don't know about, then it can grow as a bigger fear than it really is. But once I experienced the dream, death became my friend, because it was my way of getting back to that point where I was with my friends in heaven.
Tell me about your first experience, and say even in medical school, with someone dying.
Right. The first time after I got back to Birmingham to UAB, and I was a third-year medical student, and one of the jobs of a medical student is to kind of sit with a dying patient and, relate to the family, and then go, at the moment of death, retrieve the attending for the official pronouncement. And this gentleman that was in the VA hospital that I was sitting with, I knew he was a Christian because his family had been in and out and praying with him, and even though he didn't say a word, I could still feel like a peace had come over the room. And I was sitting there waiting, and it was in the middle of the night, and it's very dark and cold and sterile. And I watched as he took his last breath. And all of a sudden, it was as if a door had been flung open on a spring day. Instead of it being a cold, sterile room, it was a warm, inviting room. And there was another presence in the room, and it was as if this man's spirit had been taken up, and and been called forth, and I could feel it as he went past me into the realm of heaven.
Now, you could feel it. Could you see anything?
There was a glow, kind of a light, and it was just there briefly, but it was definitely, there was something in it. It lit up, and there were no other explanation other than, God had, come and gotten him.
And tell me about the smell.
Well, it was like a spring day. It was a kind of a citrus and lilac. It was a flowery, just like you would expect on a fresh morning.
Now, when you went to heaven, did it remind you of that?
It did. Very similar. I mean, not every death is the same, but they all have similarities. They all have this sense of, this is where we're supposed to be going. And when the veil parts, parts of heaven kind of flow out into the space where I'm standing. And, I consider it holy ground when I'm with someone, when they are going into God's arms.
Tell me about your second experience with Irene.
She had actually come into the emergency room and had been one of my patients for quite a while, was elderly, and came in with signs and symptoms of a heart attack, and I knew that she was not going to make it through the night, and her family was very clear that she didn't want heroic measures. And so as I was taking her, walking with her as they were rolling her gurney up to her room, she asked me very clearly that if I would stay with her. And I said, sure. And are you afraid? And she says, no, I'm not afraid, but I wish to have an escort because tonight I'm going to meet Jesus and I want someone to be with me when I do. So she
now, is that unusual for a Christian to know this is the night, so to speak, or have you seen that before?
I've seen it several times since then. Even just Christmas week, I had an event that was very similar to this.
Now, when she went to heaven and you were escorting it, I assume that means holding her hand?
Right.
So tell me more about that.
Well, I mean, the same sort of event. I mean, as she took her last breath, instead of this cold, dark, sterile room, the room lit up again, and she was able to be taken up, and I was part of this party.
All right, but let me be practical. Sometimes medical equipment will light up. How do you know it wasn't that?
Well, all of her equipment had been turned off because she was not to be resuscitated, so there were no beeping lights or any of those sort of things.
What do you feel like when someone leaves their, you call it their temporary earth shell? What's going on inside of you?
Well, I feel like somewhat of a midwife of souls. So I feel like I've helped someone be escorted to heaven. I feel a little disappointed that I don't get to go with them. And so I'm sitting there as the party is over, kind of, sweeping up the confetti and talking to the family about how, God has, really been a part of this person's life and how he is now a bigger part of their forever life.
Now, something else has been going on with you, which I think is fabulous for a medical doctor, and that is your hands naturally are cool. However, when you touch a part of the body that needs medical help, which you might not know, let's suppose someone has a problem with their lung, when you run your hand over by where their lung is, what happens to your hands?
If there is something going wrong, my hands start to warm up. I feel a sense that, it guides me. It gives me a intuition of disease and something is...
Well, give me a real example, like the friend of your mother.
I shook hands with this lady, and you know, then I asked if she was feeling okay, and she says, "Yeah, she was just a little tired." I said, "Well, you might want to go to your doctor and ask him to check your, you know, for a thyroid, because I think something is going wrong with your endocrine system." And sure enough, a few weeks later, Mom reported that her friend had gone to her doctor, and you know, she had hypothyroidism, even though there weren't too many outward signs. I just felt like something, you know, after I touched her, that something was going wrong.
But it's not just touch. Sometimes you'll just blurt something out of your mouth. For instance, tell me about the boy that came in who had fallen and he bumped his head.
Yeah, he was sitting in, it was in the middle of the night, and his mother had brought him in just to get him checked out because he had bumped his head earlier in the evening. And so he was sitting in his mom's lap, and as most little boys, you know, at that age in the middle of the night, when a doctor comes in, they kind of get a little frightened. So all of his responses were normal. You know, I looked at him, I examined him, did a neuro check, and they were all perfectly normal. And the nurses had actually pulled out a sheet, an instruction sheet to give to the mom about, you know, what to watch for in case things changed. And I was in the process of fixing to hand her the instruction sheet to be discharged back home and to bring him back if anything changed. But instead of handing her the sheet and saying those words, I said, "I think your little boy needs to go to Vanderbilt and get a CT of his head."
Now, we're out of time, but bottom line, if he hadn't done that, he would have died.
Right.
So let me tell you something. When you, this is one of the most credible witnesses you will ever hear, and he's probably prayed with more people that were ready to die and experienced heaven and hell, I might add, while they died. His book is called Appointment with Heaven. We're combining it with my book, The 10 Best Testimonies of People That Have Died and Gone to Heaven. It's called Heaven is Beyond Your Wildest Expectation, and a special DVD in which Dr. Anderson and I answer your questions about heaven, all available for a gift of $40. If you know someone that's an agnostic or atheist, you better get this book in their hands quick. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.